The iconic children's show Sesame Street has been celebrating its 50th anniversary this month, and it's fair to say this show has set the groundwork for children's programming as we know it. Ernie and Bert, Big Bird, Oscar the Grouch, even Elmo, these characters not only teach but speak to children at their level about very real topics. Just last week, Sesame Street announced a new show in Arabic to help Syrian refugee children. For more on the show's legacy, we have with us NPR's TV critic Eric Deggans. Hey, Eric.
Hi.
Thinking about the year 1969 and what was happening in our country during that time, the moon landing, it was at the tail end of the civil rights movement, and Sesame Street was created to reach underprivileged children. Can you tell us more about the importance of starting a show like this at this time in history?
Sure. And in fact, TV back at that time, it's hard for people to remember. It was often about things that didn't have anything to do with what was going on in people's lives at the time. You know, you think about the cartoons that were on the air at the time, and they, you know, they might have, you know, Hollywood film stars in them or something like that, but they wouldn't necessarily talk about things that people were going through. And as you mentioned, there were a lot of things happening in American society at that time that were crucial to the future development of the country. Everything from struggles over the implementation of civil rights legislation to the assassination of JFK and Martin Luther King Jr. And so children had to feel a little unsettled. And there was this sense that TV needed to speak to them, especially television that was sponsored by the public.
Yeah.
How do we talk to the kids in our urban cities with publicly sponsored television that would bring everybody together? And that seemed to be Sesame Street's message.
It was really also the genesis of public media and public television as we know it, as you said. I mean, really building the foundation of what it was to be and what the mission later became.
Well, you know, one thing I think that people can agree on, people may disagree on public funding for a lot of things, but I think people can agree that if the government can come together, if people can come together and create something wonderful for kids,
right,
that's an excellent use of public money. And one of the things that's always been a very potent argument is all the programming that's available, the high-quality programming available for children. And Sesame Street has been one of the most visible examples of that for 50 years. It's the way the show brought together different people. Of course, there were Latino characters, there were Black characters, there were White characters. They had the Muppets, so they were able to introduce these characters that weren't just Black and brown and white. They were purple and green and, you know, really make the point that color is something that should bring people together, and then also face some, you know, some really important and sober subjects in a way that was healthy for them.
Yeah, you know, the diversity and inclusivity that the show brought to viewers, it was not in a gimmicky way. I want to go to some of the themes and topics that Sesame Street took on. Let's play a clip from the show. It's about Rosita. She is a 5-year-old bilingual Mexican puppet, and it's about her Mexican heritage. Let's listen.
Here we go. Mi amiguita Rosita, by me, Rosita.
So Rosita, of course, speaks English and Spanish. And this is really significant because we see a lot of bilingual shows now, but there were very few shows early on when Sesame Street started doing this.
For sure. And, you know, anybody who remembers, for example, like Schoolhouse Rock and the way in which we remembered the preamble to the Constitution or, you know, We the People in order to establish, you know, I know the preamble to the Constitution because I know that song.
About the USA, do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution?
So when you're a child, you know, songs and interesting bits of dialogue with characters that you care about that are in different languages can help you learn words in that language, help you learn to appreciate that language. Again, you know, that's a wonderful message that Sesame Street has upheld for quite a while.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the show also addresses tough subjects, tough issues, like drug addiction. This year, the show revealed that Carly's mom was battling addiction. Let's listen.
Carly's mom has been having a hard time, so in order to help her get better, she goes to a meeting with her group. They all sit in a circle.
Oh, Elmo likes singing circle time in school. Oh, does Carly's mommy sing songs in a circle?
No, they talk about grown-up problems. She goes every day so that she stays healthy.
Sesame Street has said it created this character in the face of the opioid drug epidemic, which, of course, impacts many children in this country. But there have been some pushback from this. Boston Herald columnist Jessica Heslam argued that kids as young as two should not be watching this kind of content. It crosses the line. But I'm just really thinking, I mean, this is kind of the mission of what shows like Sesame Street and really Mr. Rogers have been about.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a wonderful film about Fred Rogers where Tom Hanks plays Fred Rogers. And one of the things that Fred Rogers always said was that sometimes avoiding talking about serious subjects with children might be more about the comfort of the adults rather than the children. And he was a strong advocate for the idea that children are ready to talk about these issues as long as it's done in a way that's on their level, mm-hmm. where you're communicating the ideas in a way where you are remembering what it was like to be their age. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that Sesame Street has done very well. You know, by having the Muppets, they're also able to have these conversations on their level about subjects that are very serious. I mean, you know, one of the landmark episodes of Sesame Street was when the actor who played Mr. Hooper, the guy who owned and ran the corner store, right. mm-hmm. he passed away unexpectedly, and they decided to build a whole episode around the death of Mr. Hooper and teach kids that it's okay to talk about death, it's okay to talk about feeling sad, and that it's not something that should isolate you. It's something that you should be able to share with your parents and with the people in your lives, and it's something that you will get over and that, more importantly, you will experience. So shying away from tough subjects is unfortunately the way we choose to deal with this sometimes. But I think Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers and The Electric Company, some of these really great children's TV shows have shown that you can face these things, you can talk about this with kids, and it can be a positive experience.
Yeah, there's so many choices today. I want to talk a little bit about Sesame Street's influence. I'm thinking about some of the shows that have taken a page from Sesame Street, Between the Lions, Caillou, and here's a clip from Yo mm-hmm. Gabba Gabba.
Close up the lid and put the box away. It's fun to put your toys away, and that's how you do it! Yeah!
This show first aired in 2007. It's more of a futuristic alternate universe type show, but the themes are very similar to Sesame Street. Talk about Sesame Street's legacy. I mean, there are lots of choices, but educational shows then became a thing after Sesame Street.
I think Sesame Street's legacy is inspiring other people to create kids' TV shows that speak on multiple levels and that are constructed in a way that they can go anywhere and they can be even more fantastical than some of the stuff that Sesame Street has done.
Today, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, there are so many choices and lots of streaming services are now offering children's programming. What do you expect we'll see in the next decade of children's programming?
I think there is a concerted effort at Netflix and at Disney Plus, even at Apple TV Plus, to create shows that kids will be interested in that also sort of carry the banner where you get a sense that there's an educational ethic behind it. Just like with adults, if the programming respects the intelligence of the consumer, the audience, then it's wonderful. And if it doesn't, then you know that you're watching something that may not be the greatest thing for your kids to consume.
That's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.